Welcome to Regal's RYCast, where we share all things LiDAR. I'm Nikita Gridin, training coordinator for Regal USA. This series features interviews with industry experts from around the world, innovative LiDAR applications, best practices, workflow advice, and even exciting news about hardware and software. The podcasts are produced by Regal at their North American headquarters located in Central Florida and available worldwide through our Regal newsroom on www.regal.com. Please visit our website to subscribe to the newsroom. Simply input your email address and click. It's that easy. The Regal.com website is a great place to find detailed information on the many LiDAR scanning hardware, firmware, and software products that Regal has to offer. Or request more information or a call from a Regal specialist.
Hello, I am Tan Nguyen, Terrestrial Laser Scanning Segment Manager for Regal USA, based in Orlando, Florida. Welcome to Tan Talk, a platform on the new Regal RYCast podcast channel that is designated to share interesting ways terrestrial LiDAR is being used, tips on how we can all perform our work better, and conversation with people who are working in this field every day and know it better than anyone. Today, I'm so pleased to introduce my guest, David Bodo Jr., who is speaking with me by phone from his Carrollton, Ohio office. David is the president of David Bodo & Associates. Our main topics today is terrestrial setups, especially for road survey and scanning projects. But we will also touch a couple of other applications such as mining, survey control, and performing QA/QC in the field. I think platform choice is a particularly important subject. There are many options for terrestrial laser scanners, in addition to the standard tripod setup. And I'm looking forward to an interesting conversation. So again, today we are talking with David Bodo of Bodo & Associates. David, welcome. I'm so glad you can make the time to talk to me today.
Thanks, Tan.
Just so our listeners know a little bit more about your company, can you give us a brief overview of what kind of work you mostly focus on and how long your company has been working with LiDAR technology?
Yeah, we've been in business since about 1980, and we're in the surveying and mapping. And one of the big things with us is we're always looking at new ways to stay ahead of the curve with technology. And we're really excited to get into laser scanning to be able to apply it to a lot of different jobs that we currently do.
Thanks, David. Before we go any further, I want to briefly touch on one thing that we all globally are concerned about for our health and our business aspect. That's the COVID-19. Can you say a few words about how this is affecting your business?
Yeah, here in Ohio, it's definitely affected our business. You know, we're seeing that with a lot of businesses around us. Our governor listed real estate, infrastructure, and construction as some of the companies that continue to work during this. And we work in all three, so we are fortunate and able to keep working.
That's good to hear. So are you able to operate as normal?
You know, definitely not really as normal, but we're taking some extra precautions and we're finding ways that we can continue working and keeping our crews and the public safe.
So that's really good to hear that you are able to keep your business functioning and your employees working. One of the nice things about working with LiDAR is that a collection of massive amounts of data can happen with one or two crew members who can maintain a safe distance from each other. And then the bulk of the work is in the office where you can really control your environment and potentially for exposure. I know a lot of our clients are able to do most of their work from home offices now. Let's just all hope that we can get through this situation under control and get used to a new normal. Now, if I might, I would like to move to our topic at hand. Can you please tell our audience what type of LiDAR systems do you operate?
Yeah, right now we're using a terrestrial scanner. We use the Regal VZ400i.
Oh, thanks, Dave. As you know, I'm the number one fan of that Regal TLS VZ400i. And I see our clients along are doing some amazing projects with it. Can you tell us what platforms you are working with besides the traditional tripod?
Yes, we're always looking at different ways that we can utilize our equipment. And some of the ways that we found that we can use the VZ400i is we use it on the traditional tripod, you know, pretty much like everybody else is doing. But we've also had some instances where we were able to set it on like a ground surface. As long as it's stable, we didn't have any mount, we were able to do this to get us lower to the ground. Then we also have a tripod that sits in the back of our truck. Sits in there, we can detach it from the truck. It's called a topo lift.
I want to talk to you more about the topo lift you mentioned. But first, I'd like to hear more about scanning from the ground. When does it make sense for you to do that?
We've had a couple different applications. One, I was doing a set of stairs. The stairs were a little slippery, somewhat narrow, and I really got a little nervous putting our VZ400i up on top of a tripod there. So what I did is I just set it directly on the tread itself. I was able to get my scans, move up every couple steps. We've also used it in a cave system where the ceiling was too short, and rather than trying to get a little tiny tripod or something, we just set it right there on the ground, and it worked great.
That's a very interesting way to use or to position that scanner. Do you see any kind of negative effect from the point cloud?
So far with us, we haven't seen any. There's really no, as long as we're stable, that's the biggest thing you want to make sure of. If the scanner's spinning and you're starting to get a little wobble in it, of course you're going to get bad data. But what we're seeing is we don't have that footprint beneath us because we always lose a little bit of data where the tripod is. So the lower to the ground you get, the less data you're losing. So far with the applications we've been using, I mean, it's been great. No issues at all.
I agree that this method of setting the scanner on the ground is great for scanning of smaller scale areas with a tight footprint. So as places with a nearby steep incline, like a slope or a cliff or nearby infrastructure, or work indoors in tight spaces, and some of our clients are using it to scan interiors of buildings that require completely flat floors, such as hospitals, labs, and convention centers. But mostly of your work is outside. Is that right, David?
Yeah, most of what we do is definitely roadway work.
And let's take a brief moment to talk about that. And what other platforms do you use for most of your outdoor work?
So we use the TopoLift that was created by Certainty3D.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about the TopoLift. Why did you start using this TopoLift, and what does it this platform do for you?
That was one of the big issues we had when we first started looking into terrestrial scanning. A lot of our projects were linear, so they might be, you know, a couple miles down the road. And for us to be able to have to set all these targets up and have to move the tripod, one, it was going to wear a lot on our crews, you know, just carrying the tripod, moving it constantly, and then also setting up all the reflectors. So we're actually at a Certainty3D conference to go over some of their software, and I actually ran into UTAN, and we started looking at this VZ400i, and there, when we were talking to them, telling them the limitations, we started hearing about this TopoLift, and all the TopoLift really is, it's just a really big tripod. It sits in the bed of my truck, mounts to it, and then you detach it from the truck when you're getting ready to scan, so you have no movement from the truck, and it's another way to get the scanner up a little bit higher also.
And how high is it off the ground when it's at a scanning position?
Typically, we're anywhere, the lowest level we use is about 9 feet, and we can go up to maybe 10 to 12 feet, I believe.
Excellent. So at such position, you really get a good coverage on your horizontal surfaces, right?
Yeah, we go from when we have it on the ground on our tripod, we're going about every 50 feet typically on a scan, not because, you know, that's the limitation of the scanner, but it scans so fast. We found that the more scans we get, of course, the less shadows we're going to get, the more coverage we have. So when it's on the tripod on the ground, we're getting about 50 feet per scan. When we put it up on the TopoLift, we're getting over 100. Usually we're about 125 to 175 feet between scans.
Wow. So that's a big gain by having a scanner elevated such height, even just 10 feet. How much, let's talk about productivity with this type of system versus a terrestrial tripod. How much territory can a crew cover in an 8-hour day, assuming there are no big problems such as inclement weather or terrain challenges? And how many people are typically on your crew for it? Let's say a roadway project, linear 5 miles.
So typically what we found is with doing the scanning, a lot of times it's better to just have one person on it, especially when you're working in the truck. There's a couple things you have to get done, and the scanner is so fast. We're talking about 45 seconds to do a complete 360-degree scan with photos. So a lot of times if I have somebody else in the truck, you end up talking. And then even if on every time you miss 10 seconds per scan, that can cost you almost 60 scans in a day. I mean, you'd be surprised how much those little times really cost you. So as far as the number of people, we typically go with one. And then as far as the setup and how much we can get done in a day, it takes us from the time we pull up to a job until we're ready to hit the scan button the first time. We have about 15 minutes. That's getting out of the truck, setting the topo lift up, getting the scanner mounted, getting all my equipment inside the truck set up, and starting to scan. So we use an iPad mini, and from that iPad mini, I can see the control panel or the interface on the VZ400i. And so I can control it all right from there inside my truck. And then we're looking at, like I said, about 45 seconds per scan. And so we've been able to get up near 4 to 5 miles per day. It just depends on, you know, what distance you're going. We had one project, actually, which I always like to talk about. I started this one project. I was the first one to the site. I did all my control, and I did, I think, 45 control. And I scanned 9,000 feet almost in just under 2 hours, all by myself, collecting all the control and doing the scan.
That is quite impressive. So you can definitely see a major benefit in productivity with this type of setup with LiDAR technology. And more importantly, you're isolated in your one-man operation shell out there, which in this time, it's great. And speaking of control, let's talk a little bit more about what you really do know is survey control. Do you have any suggestion for our audience on how to best set up your survey control when using this type of technology and setup?
Yeah, and every project's different, and you look at it to see what your final results you need. You know, for some projects, you need tighter control. Other projects, you don't need quite as tight a control, but you still want to have the project tied down. So what we found, a lot of times when we start our projects, we try to get 2 or 3 targets we can see from one scan position. That kind of helps us get the whole project started on a good foot. And then a lot of times what we'll do with those is we're either using just an RTK, so we have a base rover set up, tying in the points. And other times when we need the higher accuracies, we'll actually get out our traditional traditional transit, you know, the total stations, either a robot or, you know, a two-man operations. But then we'll tie them down a little bit tighter, and we might even level the project in. Just, you know, it really depends on what your accuracies are. The great thing with using the software and everything else, it kind of does a least squares, like a best fit adjustment of all your points. So even if your control isn't quite as tight, when you're done, you really should be getting better results than what the control might show, just because of the way it does the least squares best fit adjustments through all your control points.
Thank you for sharing that with us. We've talked a little bit about linear projects. Can we talk a little bit about some other applications that you're using, mining or altitude surveys or buildings?
We try to use the scanner just about every project that we do, you know, if we can have a use for it. We had some quarry work where we were working around heavy machines, you know, the big dozers, the big dump trucks, and we were able to put it on the topo lift, go out there, drive around. Our truck's bigger than, you know, a person is, so typically it's easier to see, and it was rough terrain, and we still got really good results going through the quarry. We've done some schools where they wanted a big campus all mapped out, and anywhere that we could get that truck with the topo lift on it, we were able to do that. And that was for, you know, not only like the building, but we were also to get really good topo with it. And like you said, the Alta surveys, that's somewhat our traditional, what we normally do are these strip surveys, and they're almost like an Alta. We drive down these city streets, and we have to locate everything within like 10 feet outside the right of way in, just to capture everything we possibly can.
You mentioned quarry work. So one of the biggest concern about mine sites or quarry sites is safety, right? Because you're down on the ground holding a rod versus a man driving, you know, 30-foot vehicle that he's high up in the air. So safety is a huge benefit for this type of setup, right?
Yeah, that's what we found. I mean, it was really pretty exciting. A lot of our crews, especially in today's society, you know, we have the issue with distracted driving, and it seems to always be getting worse. You know, we're hoping that we move to a point where it gets better. But our crews standing out on the road, it's always a concern that somebody might not be paying attention and run into one of our guys. Well, when you're in the topo lift, we have that vehicle in between, you know, so we really do believe it's keeping our guys a lot safer. You get into the construction sites, the mining. Yeah, you put somebody in a truck, you don't want anything to get hit. But even if we would get hit in the truck, you know, at least our guys would be safe. You can always repair a truck, but the safety of our crews, you know, that's number one with us. And the topo lift is a great way to keep our guys safe.
I couldn't agree with you more. Thanks for the information on the setup and mining applications. We here at Rego are excited about this new tool, this 3D voxel analyst tool from within RiseScan Pro. Have you seen that, the voxel analyst tool within RiseScan Pro?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so exciting seeing what they're doing with the software. I mean, that was another issue that we'd always heard about scanning is the difficulty in registering your projects together and just working with the scan data, you know, itself. And luckily, we got in with Regal, and by the time we got there, it seems like they got most of the bugs fixed on everything, and so it's really a smooth operation.
Glad to hear the positive feedback. For those listeners who may not know this lingo, voxel is a regular gridded in the 3D space. The tool, as I mentioned, is valuable for measurements, for measuring changes, calculating volumes, quantifying surfaces. Regal is just releasing a short video on that. And listeners that can contact me at Regal USA to get a link if you want to see a little bit of demonstration of this neat tool. Let's talk a little bit more about another important piece of the equipment. I know you had mentioned battery life in the past. Our new batteries are longer lasting span. They're moved from lithium nickel metal to lithium ion. But for those listeners out there who work with the less than new batteries, what advice might you have for them that can get the most of the work done throughout the day?
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussions about batteries in the past. One of my biggest issues was, you know, when I go out on a site, I want to get as much done as I can. And some of the batteries, they would last 4 hours. And I remember one project I did where I went out, I started off in the lift a little bit. And I think on that project, I started out just on the tripod. I scanned as much as I could till the battery died. I maybe got 100 scans in or something. Then I threw it on the lift, put my battery on the charger. I charged it. I did everything I could possibly do using the topo lift, because on the topo lift, it's great. You plug it to a car battery. We actually modified our pickup truck to where we have a spare battery in the under the hood that's connected to our alternator, and then we have the leads are in the bed, so I just connect right to them, and so it's always charging. So I scanned the rest of the project that I could in the truck, and then I got it back out, hooked it up to the old battery, scanned as much as I could, and it died. And I ended up going to marine battery and finished out my scanning, which, you know, as you can imagine, was a little tough. And what we've seen since that time, that was a year or two ago that happened. Since then, we've seen the being able to use LiPo batteries. And now at one of the recent conferences, you guys are coming out with these hot swappable batteries, and it's really changed a lot. You know, the battery life was always a big issue. And, you know, again, the VZ400i, it's pretty exciting what it can do now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're always trying to improve, whether it's external hardware, internal hardware, components, processing. You know, Regal, we're always moving forward and thinking of new ways, new strategies, and new products to make our surveying work a lot easier, more efficient, and more productive. Let's talk about a very important subject, and we don't have to emphasize on this too much, but QA/QC. From what I know is that in the past, QA/QC was very easy to do using the software directly, requiring the scanner and having the scanner data directly transferred to the laptop and then comparing it to survey control. Since that has gone away, we kind of moved towards operating directly from the scanner user interface. Is there any way that you can QA/QC your work out in the field with this type of setup?
Yeah, that was, again, you know, I hate to keep saying exciting, but that was something else that kind of exciting that came up. One of our issues, you know, we had before, you go out and you do all these scans, and especially if you're doing 400 scans in a day, you have to wonder how many areas you've missed, if there's any shadows that you could have picked up, and especially if you're going, you know, driving distances to get here. So just recently, we were able to start implementing where when we start the project, we set it up so that it automatically registers on board. So as we're scanning on board, it's registering all of our scans together. When we're done or at any point we want to check, all we do is we, you know, click to another menu, we pull our phone out and you scan a QR code. And then on your phone, you can actually look at your scan data. You can kind of go through it, see if there's any shadows. You can actually click on an individual scan position and see what it looks like kind of in that spherical view, you know, as if you were the scanner. You can look around and make sure you picked up everything you needed from that scan position. And it's great with this. Before, it took a little knowledge on getting it out of the scanner, into your laptop, and then registering it. Now, pretty much anybody that's running our scanner, you know, we'll send our field crews out. Before they leave, we tell them, look at the data, make sure it looks good to you before you even come back.
Yeah, and that's a very good point about doing a project and then having to go back to it. You know, the money spent and time to spend the guys back is it's costly. Absolutely. Yeah, and you're absolutely right about the Ripano. It's a Ripano app. So the VZ400, for those listeners who don't know, have these customizable apps that can be developed through a Python scripting. And one of the apps that comes with the scanner is the viewer app, which is called Ripano. And the other app is also called the registration app. So not only you can develop these certain apps, you can also customize your app to filter data a little bit more too as well. And we can get into that a little bit later, maybe at another podcast where we talk about the user interface of the VZ400i. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, it's all about the client and getting the job done, right? What kind of response have you had from some of your longtime clients about the new survey method using LiDAR technology?
Yeah, so, you know, it's always a little difficult to get people to grasp, you know, the new technology. So we started just doing little projects where we could here and there, and it really didn't make much impact on the front side of the project. I mean, we believe we were turning out, you know, a lot better quality of data. We did a project, though, and it was a simple road crossing. We had to do a plan and profile. So the client came in, they did the work. We finished everything, you know, gave it to them. It all worked out good. What happened a couple years later, one of the adjoining properties started saying that they changed some of the grades and was causing flooding issues. And so they were getting close to going to court over this. We were able to come in, show that we had that scan data before. We went back, scanned it again, compared the two services, and was able to show that there was no noticeable change. So it's a great way to capture that pre-existing site conditions. And it was, you know, that there, you know, can't even imagine, you know, what we saved, you know, for everybody. One, you know, letting everybody understand, you know, what it was originally and how it was now, but even the financial aspect of, you know, the court cost and, you know, what would have happened in the end with this project.
So you're getting positive feedback from this new way of surveying using terrestrial LiDAR or any kind of LiDAR.
Absolutely. Just the amount of data we're able to give, and everybody's really excited. We're able to give them that Ripano you were talking to. In the end, we can use that as a deliverable. So we're giving that to most of our clients just so they have something that they can play around with. See the amount of data, they can do some basic measuring in it, and people are really excited about what we can do and just seeing the opportunities and how we can, you know, really extend what surveying does for people.
That's great. That's very good feedback. For our listeners, David, would you like to share your contact information with us? Perhaps there are listeners out there who have questions and upcoming projects for you, or perhaps even want to contact you, or listeners out there that may be looking for a position with your company.
Absolutely. So we're located out of Carrollton, Ohio. We're about an hour south of Canton, where the Football of Fame is, and we're about an hour west of Pittsburgh. So we're kind of centrally located on the east side of Ohio. But so our website is bodosurveying.com. That's bodosurveying.com. And my email, I always, you know, like to hear from people. And so my email is davejr@bodosurveying.com. That's davejr@bodosurveying.com.
Dave, I can't thank you enough for your time today. You've been a great client. And over the years, you've also become a respected friend and colleague. You really set the high standard for using our terrestrial LiDAR technology. Within our circles, we see you and your operation as ultimately creative, thoughtful, meticulous, and planning of your work. You do great things the first time around. And moreover, we are grateful for you to share of your knowledge. We can all learn from your examples, and I want to thank you for your great conversation today. I am Tan Nguyen, the Terrestrial Laser Scanning Segment Manager at Regal USA. My contact info, if you care to reach out, is tnguyen@regalusa.com or by phone 407-248-9927. All of us at Regal hope you have enjoyed the discussions, and I hope you will join me again for a TAN Talk on our TLS segment. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, more RightCast recordings are available on the Regal USA Newsroom. You can listen to them independently, forward them to your colleagues, or played them at your company's next meeting. You, the Regal users, give us the best stories to tell. We appreciate your suggestions, so please send us your ideas or comments to communications@regalusa.com. And as always, have an ultimate LiDAR day. Until next time, Nikita signing off.